Yeah, I'm in this area. We are all here. So Roger, two murders or something like that. This area. No, all just all three. No hassles.
Anybody else feeling that? converted the people to our homeland. We were like those who dream. To themselves, God has been good to them.
Indeed, we can now set ourselves free. God has done great things for us. Now we must rebuild our broken lives by piecing together shards of shattered poverty.
May we find as much joy in putting together the pieces as we had sorrow.
Here we go, let us
invite you to turn your attention outward to the people who are seated around you. I invite you to consider for just a moment that everyone who is gathered here only wishes you well. That everyone here only wishes you well. And then maybe then for a moment, you might feel as if you have everything that you need. That you, for this time and this space, need not worry about the things that have come before or the things that will come after. But that right now, you are rooted and grounded in love. And that the people who are around you are seeking to learn how to love you, as we are seeking to learn how to love one another. So we can, in this confidence, then share. We can share ourselves. We can share our hopes, our fears, our worries, in order to maybe leave them here, our worries and our fears, and take with us our hopes, dwelling always in the presence of love. I invite you then, as you feel comfortable, to encourage one another, to share with one another, to lift aloud your joys, your concerns, your hopes, your prayers, your dreams, your worries. Are there joys or concerns that you would share?
Certainly need prayers. And let's pray for the people who will be traveling for Thanksgiving.
I'd like to raise a prayer for Joel Manns. I don't know how many of you know, but he's hurt his back. Donna's been pretty closely attending him, so she hasn't been in services for a couple weeks. And I'd like to have healing prayers for Joel.
I've got a Thanksgiving card for us to sign for Muriel, and thinking this is the first time away from her former church family, I thought maybe she'd enjoy hearing from everybody. So if you'd like to sign it, I'll be at the back of the sanctuary after church and be happy to have you sign it.
Thanks. Muriel is a member of our church that just recently moved away, and we still love her. I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words that are printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together as you feel comfortable. We can share them together saying, "Come, God, our great midwife, in the midst of our world's birth pangs and labor problems for renewal, come, help us birth a new world." pray to our common parent. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
It makes us expected change, like you knew that it was coming or you knew it was on the schedule, but or sometimes it's a change like this where you have no idea. It just happened. And here you are, and now we have to make an adaptation. Are you making any adaptations by sitting in the back? Sam? Adaptation? An adaptation is like a change that you do. You adapt to something.
Yep.
So a change happens, and then you have to change your behavior. Is that a good description of an adaptation?
Yep.
So it's the change that is a result of a change. Any changes that we had to make by sitting back here? We had to go a different way from going around the front. Wow, we had to figure that out. Yeah, it was very difficult. Yeah, it could have been, if you didn't know how to get back here, it could have been very difficult. And maybe there would be nobody to show you the way. But I yelled pretty loudly, and you all heard me, and you came. I used the microphone, yep. It's a change, and here we are. I'm not saying that this change is gonna stay here forever, but this is part of life. Sometimes we sit in the front, sometimes we sit in the back, sometimes we're out of the building altogether. This is part of our lives, and we're Christians, so we can adapt to changes. Sometimes we grumble about them, and sometimes we don't like it. But over time, we might adapt, and we might not even remember that a change was made. We might think that this is always where kids' time is. Who knows? This is part of our lives, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And I hope that you have, that you, when you encounter changes in your lives, you learn, you adapt, and you stick together. I hope that when the changes come, that you have people in your life that you can talk to and that can help you and support you. That is what helps me through all of the changes that life brings. I invite you to join with me in prayer. How do you pray when you pray? Do you look down? Do you look up? Do you fold your hands? Do you fold your hands? Let's fold our hands like this. Oh, there it goes. What's your dolly's name? Jazzy. Jazzy's praying too. And we can pray, Dear God, thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for walking with us when we have changes. Thank you for helping us adapt. Amen. And our friend, our teacher, is Lori, right? And there she goes. Bye, everybody. Bye, thank you. Have fun.
scripture reading for today is Mark 13, verses 1 through 8. It will be found on page 47 in your pew Bible. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, what will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. For the nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains."
Maybe it is time to get apocalyptic in our church.
talk about the reality that we all kind of feel but don't really want to go there, and that is that we're dying. I mean, yes, you're going to die. We're all dying. I'm sorry if this is the first time you've ever heard that. I'm be the one to tell you. But it's not that kind of dying. It's not just you, but us. Our church. Our churches. And it's not just us at Hope. I think we're doing pretty well, actually. But it's all of us. The United Methodist Church is declining. In the United States, that is. Do you know that the North Katanga Conference in the Republic of Congo will bring the largest delegation of representatives to the General Conference in 2020? They will bring 50 delegates. That's more than than the two biggest conferences in the United States combined. Those are the people that we're crocheting scarves for, by the way. Do you know those of you who are sewing Lydia scarves? Oh, they're back there! 101 things to do during a boring sermon in a scarf. They're knitting scarves for representatives who are coming from Africa to our general conference. But, I mean, to be really honest, the church is not in numbers, is declining all around the world because there were so many. Our worship attendance in the United States dropped by nearly 5% last year, and every jurisdiction in the United States reported decline last year. And it's not just us, not just United Methodists, it's all of us. Every Christian denomination in the United States reported decline last year. Yes, even the big ones. And the Star Tribune published last Sunday, maybe you read it. It was a fascinating article about the rise of the nuns. Do you know what the nuns are? Not like the sisters, but like the N-O-N-E's. Did you know what the fastest growing religious affiliation in the United States are those people who, when they have to check a box for their religious affiliation, they check none, like as in I don't have one. Do any of you have any family members who are a nun? Do you know anybody who might be a nun? Raise your hands. Oh, yeah. Maybe you are one. And get a group of clergy together and ask them the same thing. It is sad. It is heartbreaking and apocalyptic to ask clergy how they feel when they say that their own kids do not attend the church that they have given their lives to building. Can we learn from this revelation? What can this apocalypse teach us? Well, this is where I get a little bit. There is very little about organized Christianity today that resembles Christianity as it was when it began. The answer might not be to ratchet up what it is that we've already been doing, to ratchet up the rhetoric and electrify the service. The answer isn't to get slicker and better branding and more stuff. The church is not going to suddenly thrive in the days ahead because of its gorgeous facilities and charismatic preachers. We already have that stuff. And believe me, I'm not that great. I cannot save you. I cannot even save myself. The bad news is that the church, as we know it, is dying. The good news is that God loves you. And God is at home on this planet. God loves you. And love never dies. The good news is that place closer to the earth, maybe this humiliating place, all we have to do is begin to the slow, small, simple work of loving one another and investing time in each other, feeding one another, and nurturing our souls. Holy cow, aren't we so good at that? Don't we do a good job of that? The world doesn't need more talk. Certainly doesn't need more talking from me, from us. We have talked and talked, eloquent sermons, bombastic sermons even, Bible studies, reams and reams and reams of paper, books and books of how-tos, Jesus as CEO or Jesus as president, images of Jesus on toasts and walls, crosses on bookmarks and t-shirts. All of this effort, all of this stuff, all of this money, and it ultimately fails. Because the world needs the goodness of God, incarnate in the flesh of people who know God. As you live and breathe and move within your daily lives, people around you need to come face to face with the radical grace and peace and unconditional love and counterintuitive forgiveness. We need, as John Pavlovitz, he's a preacher and a guy that I follow on Facebook, he suggests that we need to build a bigger table, a place where all are welcome, a place that is messy and authentic and hopeful. Just like me. Go ahead, you know my office. I cleaned it up this week, but you might not notice. It's been a while since. So messy I am, but also so happy, and such a sign of hope, because all of the little things that I have in my office, those are all gifts from people that I know and love. Every little thing, a symbol, a shining light of hope. This week I was at Super One, have you ever heard of that? And came out of Super One, and this guy was standing at the exit, and I looked at him, and I'm like, oh, he's going to ask me for money. And yeah, he asked me for money. And I'm like, dude, no, I don't have any money. I just have credit. I'm like, I'm going to give you, right. You know, I don't have any money. And I walked to my car, and I pulled out, and he knocked on my window. And I looked him in the face, and I said, I don't have any money. And I said, do you want a ride? He said, yeah, you want a ride. I said, where do you want to go? And I'm like, stupid, Sarah, you're not supposed to do this. I do not recommend this. I'm not saying that this is what you should do, but I'm saying this is what I did. And I bought him a fried turkey sandwich at Arby's. And then he peed in my car. And I dropped him off in an alley. And now my car smells like pee. And I know that I did the right thing because it was really cold. And I know it was one individual, and I know his name is Reggie. And I know that Reggie is on the street because of the wild and virulent intersections of racism, intergenerational poverty, and just general messiness. And here's a sign. The opportunity of the apocalypse. It was like the scripture verse knocking on my car window. What if our love for one another were the main event in a church? And what if church were not just simply me standing up here and you watching me yammer on, because you know I do yammer? And what if I spent as much time around kitchen tables in the streets, the people who live there? What if I spent as much time working on my sermon as I did sitting at bedsides? What if I spent more time outside of these walls than I do behind this pulpit? How would that shape our church? What would that reveal? What if we all called the ground that we were walking on in our daily lives? What if we all noticed it and called it holy? What would we build then? And what would we tear down? Let us join to sing, "When God Restored Our Common Life." It's in your book.
Give.
budget and their operating expense. And also, I believe that when we give, we work in ourselves, or we invite the working in ourselves of the great economic revolution that I believe is required for a transformation in the world. That we cease to allow the hold that money has on us to dictate how we are going to live. I invite you to continue in this spirit of prayer, in this deep practice of giving and receiving. I invite you to give and receive our morning offering.
And I have a big announcement that
that's next Sunday after worship. We, kind of an abbreviated church conference, our friend Reverend Larry Gable will preside. And the big item of business is looking at and discerning and approving, maybe, but my it's called clergy compensation for 2019, because I'm here. And it's good. And Larry will, is gracious enough to preside, because I can't do that over my own salary. And there are usually other items for business, but we don't have them ready. That's my fault. I don't have them ready, but we will continue. And as things come forward, like nominations and lay leadership, we'll have other opportunities to approve those membership too. So that will happen on Sunday, next Sunday. Please stay and be present and be participating in that. Next Sunday, my mom, Pastor Penny Fritzy Teets, is going to preach. She's here. She's going to be here for Thanksgiving, so why not put her to work? She's not cooking anything, I know that. So she can preach on Sunday. I'll be here, but you'll get to meet my mom. Are there any other announcements that you have? Okay, lots of them. Maybe you can come forward. Oh, she'll be watching. Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, I'm Michelle. I'm part of the missions team. And I get to talk about two of my favorite things this week. Lots of you know that I work at Myers-Wilkins Elementary School, which is an amazing school. It also is home to the highest amount of kids who live in poverty. And so one thing that we do every year is we provide one grade level with pajamas, because pajamas, if you are living in poverty, is a luxury. So this year we are doing it with the first graders. And we're not going to be doing it in December like we usually do. We're doing it in February for I Love to Read Month, because we combine it with a family literacy night. And but this is when the deals are on pajamas. So this is what I'm asking you to, if you are willing to buy a pair of pajamas for a kid in need, this is the time to do it. This week is a great week to buy pajamas. They are on sale every place. So we're looking for a little bit smaller sizes this year, 6X to 10. We will also accept the money if you would rather not shop, and I can shop for you. Kind of going with what Sarah talked about today, giving to kids is the easy part. That's the really easy part. And like Sarah said, we're not asking everybody to take somebody in their car. Not even right. But the mission team came up with something that you can do that's really easy. It pushes you a little bit out of your comfort zone, but your car won't smell like pee. So we come up with the idea of blessing bags. And what a blessing bag is a Ziploc bag. It's not our idea. We got it from somebody else. It's a big Ziploc bag filled with stuff that you might need if you're homeless. One of the biggest struggles for people who live with homelessness is keeping clean. And so they would contain deodorant and little bottles of shampoo and toothbrush and toothpaste. And we're going to be putting these blessing bags together in 2 weeks on the first Sunday of Advent. And our goal is to make 75 of them. And then the next part of our goal is that you are willing to take one or two or three and put it in your car. And when you run into somebody at the public library who's down in the block, or I was eating at Hanabi the other night and right across the street from Chum, you see somebody who's down in their luck, offer them a blessing bag. You might get refused, you might get sworn at, but you might get really great response, and it's a way to pass our blessings on to somebody else. So here's what you can do to help. I have made this blessing bag board, and on it are items that we need for our blessing bags. So you could take a toothbrush thing and get us 10 individually wrapped toothbrushes. Or you could take shampoo and get some shampoo. Some of these things will split up like Band-Aids and tampons and put in just some in each bag. Some of them will put individually wrapped things in the bags. And then 2 Sundays from now, we're going to ask that after church we have a potluck, and that you can take some time to put together some blessing bags with us. So this will be out on the Narthex project, near and dear to my heart, and also goes really well with what Sarah was preaching today.
Thank you so much. Great board.
people asking me why we have so many goodies on the goodie table at coffee time, and could we do less or whatever. I think we're blessed right now with people who want to be part of our coffee time and our fellowship, and I want you all to know that it is the cookies, all of the things that are brought in, we use for fellowship, and they also go for parents and pals, and we put out what we've had in the freezer for the kids on Monday nights that come for a meal. So it's nothing that's going to waste, and most of this is thanks to the Lester Park ladies who have joined our church and have really, really helped with our... It's our blessing to have an abundance of goodies, so we share.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know if I see any youth here today, but I do see some parents. So I just want to let you know I'll be texting Al about an event at the trampoline park for the 2nd of December. I've heard a couple of kids would think that's a good fun time, so we're going to try to get them together and do that. And then on December 9th, we're going to have our annual Sunday school bake sale. So I'll be reaching out to you guys through the newsletter and through announcements to bring in some baked goods for that to help contribute. And the profits will go to the Heifer Project. We're going to go for a goal of getting a sheep and a goat for this year. So you guys can help out by bringing some baked goods or making some purchases on December 9th. We'd appreciate it. Thanks.
A lot of you are aware of campus ministry, and especially when Cynthia was here, we were blessed to have her be part of it. The new director is Joanne Kaufman Langan, who's doing a fabulous job. If any of you are on Facebook with her, it's just right up to the minute. So you can tell she has higher level skills than certainly I have. On Monday is the Thanksgiving dinner for United Campus Ministry held here. And we've been at it quite a few times. We usually go about 4 o'clock, kind of help with putting things out and a little bit of cleanup. But if you're interested in participating, just let Joanna know on Facebook or just show up. We have, I think, like 80 plus, I'm trying to guess, students. It is not specifically designated in our faith, but it certainly is. And most of you have heard of kosher food. On Thanksgiving, but I never heard of halal turkey, which also is halal gravy and halal dressing. And the way of the future is those kids, whether we did it or not, is irrelevant. So anyone who can join us, it'd be wonderful. You just show up, schmooze, I guarantee you'll be a blast.
Thanks. And our joint Thanksgiving service, interdenominational Thanksgiving service, and Liz is directing our choir. Don't miss it. It's on Tuesday, 7 o'clock, right, at the Coppertop Church. How good it is to gather together. Thank you for our time. And I invite us to join the singer closing.
Thank you.
May you go in peace, and may you know that this is sacred holy ground. May you be a sign, a witness of hope. Go in peace to love and serve God.